WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, it's sunny and 64 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. In the Southwest Iowa news, authorities in Montgomery County this morning are asking for your help in locating a missing person and their vehicle. Officials say the owner of a 2004 F-150 extended cab pickup has not been seen or heard from since around 9 p.m. Saturday. They said that person may have some health issues. The missing vehicle was described as being brown over tan in color with a silver toolbox. The Iowa license plate number on that vehicle is 085-ZEB. And if you've seen the pickup truck or know where its driver is, you're asked to contact the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department at 712-623-5107 or your local law enforcement agency. Additional details concerning the driver and other related information is currently not available from the Sheriff's Department. News time is 9:01.
It happens. That terrifying sound as a siren goes off in the night, and you wonder, is this just another warning, or is it real? Do you grab your family and head for the basement, or simply turn on the radio to get more information? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance. You know, it happens, but thankfully, so far it hasn't happened to you. Maybe you've helped others clean up the mess left by tornadoes, damaging lightning, or 70-mile-an-hour straight winds. But, knock on wood, it hasn't affected you yet. Have you thought about where you'd go if suddenly you had a tree in your corner bedroom, or if your home had no roof at all? Have you considered where you'd stay if there was nothing left? These are things I've helped people consider for years when they've allowed me to help them do more than knock on wood with the homeowner's policy from Allied Insurance. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll do the research and show you a policy from Allied that will give you coverage to help recover from the financial obstacles that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied Insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
Authorities in Adair County say a toddler died from injuries he suffered when a tree fell on him Sunday afternoon. According to Fontenelle Police Chief Pat Henry, 3-year-old Nathan Hutt of Fontenelle was playing in the yard of a residence in Fontenelle when a large tree was blown over and one of the limbs fell on top of him. Emergency medical personnel were called to the scene of the accident at around 12:45 p.m. Sunday. Funeral services for Nathan Hutt are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. No injuries were reported following a car versus deer collision over the weekend in Montgomery County. Sheriff's officials said Monday the accident happened at around 10:25 p.m. Saturday, when a 2004 Dodge Stratus owned and driven by 19-year-old Bradley Melvin Telschau of Red Oak hit a deer while traveling east on 150th Street, about 1/2 mile west of F Avenue. The car sustained about $6,500 in damage. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports today two arrests over the Memorial Day weekend. On Saturday, 25-year-old Ronald Elroy Haskins of Tabor was arrested for driving under suspension, and 31-year-old Matthew Garrett Polk of Lincoln, Nebraska was arrested on OWI and speeding charges. Other arrests last week in Fremont County include on Thursday, 27-year-old Troy Edward Grindle of Glenwood for violation of a protection order, and 35-year-old Alan Lee Smith of Sydney for violation of a no-contact order and criminal mischief in the fifth degree. On Monday, May the 21st, 39-year-old Dennis Joseph Doyen of Tabor was arrested in Fremont County on charges of child endangerment, simple assault, and operating a vehicle without the owner's consent. And 18-year-old Richard Charles Golden of Sydney was arrested for being a person under legal age and failure to obey a traffic control device. The Sheriff's Department reports also the arrest on May the 18th of 35-year-old Joshua Glenn Carpenter of Riverton on a charge of serious assault in connection with an incident involving James Harvey of Sydney. A public hearing is set for this evening in Audubon with regard to an amendment to the 2011-2012 budget. The hearing will take place during the City Council's regular session, which begins at 7 p.m. The amendment is being made necessary after receipts in the general fund turned out to be higher than expected. Following the public hearing, the Council will act on a resolution approving the budget amendment. In other business, the Audubon City Council will hold a separate public hearing on the sale of a vacated portion of an alley in Lot 14 of the West Audubon Addition, followed by action on a resolution to proceed with that sale. Many in northwest Iowa spent yesterday cleaning up after a severe thunderstorm hit Sioux County over the weekend. The sheriff's office said trees, branches, and power lines were knocked down during the storm as it passed over Hull, Haywarden, and Boyden on Sunday night. Several homes were hit by downed trees, but no injuries were reported. Officials said wind gusts of up to 70 miles per hour were also reported, and some residents lost power for about 3 hours. A county landfill in Iowa City is reopening for business on a limited basis, even as a massive fire there continues to burn for a fourth day. The landfill that serves Johnson County and the surrounding communities said that the residential trash collection would resume on Tuesday. The landfill will take trash from municipal and commercial haulers, but others will not have access to dumping services until further notice. City officials say they do not know the exact cause of the fire, which started Saturday evening at a place where dumping occurred earlier in the day. City officials say they're trying to contain the fire until it burns out on its own, which could take several days. The fire is burning a layer of shredded tires, which is producing some heavy black smoke. A flood-damaged house has been destroyed by fire in Cedar Rapids. Authorities say the fire was reported a little before 4:30 a.m. Sunday. Firefighters arrived to find the two-story house engulfed in flames. The house was damaged in the June 2008 flooding and had been abandoned. Authorities say heat from the fire melted some siding on a nearby apartment building and a neighboring house. No injuries were reported, and the cause of the fire was under investigation. Volunteer firefighters in Mount Vernon celebrated the opening of a new firehouse on Monday, replacing its aging headquarters. The $2 million building replaces the department's downtown location, which opened in 1967. Michael Pint, a trustee with the Linn County Fire District, says that replacing the old building was a long time in coming. The new station features a computer-aided routing system to improve response time and a multimedia training room. The new building was mostly paid for by the city of Mount Vernon. Three anglers were rescued from the water after their boat rolled over in high winds at a northern Iowa lake. The Iowa Natural Resources Department said the accident occurred at around 2 p.m. Sunday at Clear Lake. Wind drove the choppy water over the stern of the 14-foot-long boat while the three were fishing. A passing boat soon rescued two of the anglers. The third angler spent about 15 minutes in the water grasping at two life jackets before he was finally rescued. The three were identified as 30-year-old Donald Evelyn and 41-year-old Charlie Fields of Des Moines and 26-year-old Sasha Bernizer of Newton. None of the three sought medical attention after their ordeal. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources is trying to lure more people to go fishing. Next weekend, June the 1st through the 3rd, the DNR will allow Iowans without a fishing license to go fishing for free. DNR fish biologist Martin Conrad says it's a great time of year to cast a line in an Iowa lake.
This is the time of year the fish are still in close to shore, so shore anglers have just as good an opportunity to catch fish than boat anglers. And for this time of year, you'd expect yellow bass, bluegill, crappie to be available close to shore, as well as walleye and northern pike.
The conditions this spring and past winter have also contributed to a healthy crop of fish that are biting.
We've had tremendous fishing this spring. You know, the weather warmed up early in March, and people got out, and fishing has just been above average, and it's been good, in particularly in the Great Lakes area.
Conrad suggests fishing may be a way for some adults to relive their childhood memories.
Maybe they've been away from fishing for a while and have kind of forgotten about it, and here's kind of a wake-up call. You know, the DNR wants people to come back, start fishing again, enjoy it as an outdoor sport and a family activity.
For more information about the Iowa DNR's free fishing days, you can go to www.iowadnr.gov/fishing. And finally in the news, the USS Iowa is in the middle of its journey to a new permanent home. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
A tugboat guided the USS Iowa battleship under the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco Bay Saturday. The USS Iowa had been anchored in a salvage yard nearby, but the U.S. Navy has handed the ship over to the Pacific Battleship Center. The USS Iowa, which was built in 1940, will become a floating museum at the Port of Los Angeles. Franklin Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, and George Herbert Walker Bush used the ship as transport during their presidencies. Go to radioiowa.com to find a link that shows the battleship's progress as the USS Iowa makes its final voyage. It should reach Los Angeles on Wednesday. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And taking a look at national news headlines, for the first time in 7 months, home prices are on the rise in most major U.S. cities. The increase that is reflected in the Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index is the latest evidence of a slow recovery taking shape in the troubled housing market. The index finds that prices increased from February to March in 12 of the 20 cities it tracked. Prices still dropped sharply in Detroit, Chicago, and Atlanta. Stocks have opened higher on Wall Street today on optimism that China will take action to reverse a slowdown in its economic growth. In Europe, most markets moved higher after early declines. Asian indexes also closed higher. U.S. markets were closed yesterday, of course, for the Memorial Day holiday. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up a little more than 117 points with a volume of 12,572. The S&P 500 is up a little more than 12, and the NASDAQ is up nearly 25 points. Also in the news this morning, British police have arrested the parents of six children who died in a fire at their home and are treating the two as murder suspects. Police allege that the fire broke out after fuel was poured through a front door mail slot. British media say one of the people arrested is Mick Philpott, who has 17 children and has appeared on a British reality program about his unusually large family. The UN Human Rights Office says most of the 108 victims of a massacre in Syria last week were shot at close range, including women and children who were gunned down in their homes. The report didn't say decisively who was responsible for most of the deaths, but it quoted survivors and witnesses as saying pro-government militias went house to house killing people. News time is 9/11.
It happens, and many times you don't even see it coming. The sun shines bright as you head out the door, glancing smugly at your umbrella, and 3 hours later on the golf course, you're soaked in a sudden downpour. It happens. This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance in Atlantic. Over the past few months, several people have commented to me about the ads I've run on the radio. One actually said, "Donnie Drennan, you are not going to guilt me into buying insurance. My intent is not to guilt anyone into buying, but I believe my job is to urge you to consider the unexpected, because when it happens, if you haven't thought about it and taken steps to protect your possessions, your loved ones, or yourself, it can be devastating, so call me. I've seen plenty of the its. I've been on both sides, knowing the regret of those who thought it couldn't happen to them and sharing the relief of the ones who allowed me to help them consider the what-ifs and buy coverage from Allied Insurance. I'd like to help you. I'm your Allied Insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust."
And in our funeral announcements, Glenn Pettigrew, age 93, of Fontenelle, died Thursday. Funeral and Masonic services for Glenn Pettigrew will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Sandra Gourley Smith, age 70, of Nottoway, died Thursday. Celebration of life services for Sandra Smith will be today at 10 o'clock at the Villisca United Methodist Church. Wolf Funeral Home of Villisca has arrangements. Joseph Gittins, age 30, of Persia, died May the 19th. Funeral services for Joseph Gittins will be held today at 10:30 at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Jerry Gates, age 78, of Orient, died Wednesday. Funeral and Masonic services for Jerry Gates will be today at 1:30 at the Orient Plymouth Congregational Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Harry Olson, age 88, of Coon Rapids, died Sunday. Funeral services for Harry Olson will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Doris Camaseo, age 91, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday. Funeral services for Doris Camaseo will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Victor Coppold, age 74, of Shenandoah and formerly of Harlan, died Saturday. Funeral services for Victor Coppold will be held Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Karen Schleifarth, age 64, of Earlham and formerly of Greenfield, died Thursday. Celebration of life services for Karen Schleifarth will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Judy Ray Jude Leniker Philbrick, age 59 and formerly of Dexter, died Saturday. Memorial services for Judy Philbrick will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Lloyd Murtis, age 86, of Carson, died Sunday. Funeral services for Lloyd Murtis will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Carson United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Edna Weeks, age 84, of Audubon, died Thursday. Funeral services for Edna Weeks will be held this coming Thursday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Gerald Esslinger, age 85, of Bayard, died Monday. Graveside services for Gerald Esslinger will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Highland Township Cemetery south of Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Aletha Brew, age 86, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for Aletha Brew will be held June the 5th at 1 p.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lloyd Schroeder, age 85, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Lloyd Schroeder will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has arrangements. Lois Wolford, age 89, of Atlantic and formerly of Messina, died Monday. Funeral services for Lois Wolford are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Lloyd Robinson, age 72, of Irwin, died Monday in Carroll. Services for Lloyd Robinson are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news was brought to you by United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust. The Sky Scan forecast is next.